You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Karen Chapman from Gardnerville, Nevada, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 14th, episode 3996. This episode is brought to you by Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control. Good morning, Horse World!
When your start time's on Saturday and your finish time's on Sunday, and it doesn't get much better than best conditioned, and completing the challenge is the challenge, you're an endurance rider.
Before we get on with the show, Karen, I have to welcome you to the club. Every single one of us that has had to say Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control has messed it up. Every single one of us.
That's the first time I said it, you
guys. Yep. Every single host.
Giving me a break on that.
Yeah, every single host has screwed that one up the first time. So welcome to the club.
Because it's new.
Well, it's kind of odd. Yeah, the words don't go together when you say them out loud. You know, they kind of, it's just words that don't usually go together. It's weird. So, but it works. We're using it. It definitely works. Anyway.
I'm good.
We got a big show planned for today. We're going to be talking a little bit about Tevis. And I love that you always put the stats together every year. And we're going to go over that because that's coming up. When is it? August 1st?
August 1st.
Yeah. So a couple weeks away. And then Tell us about our guests we have today.
We have Bridget and Chelsea Helms, mother and daughter duo, who are from Wyoming and are riding endurance together.
Oh, cool. All right. I love that. All right. So before we get started with the Tevis talk, you've been posting like crazy on your social media, and it looks like you're riding all over the place. And also, you must have got a new toy because we've been seeing a lot of drone footage.
That's it. I know. I've been having a lot of fun with my drone.
Which one did you get, by the way?
It's the DJI Neo 2.
That's the little one that you can land in your palm. It's tiny.
Yes, it is. And it fits in a saddle pack. Like if you have like a boot bag, it fits perfectly in it. You know, I put it on the front of my saddle so I can pull it in and out. You just need to push a button or two and hold it flat in your hand. You know, you have to be standing still and it takes off. It can follow you from the front, the back, the side. It can circle you. It can go straight up.
So once you set it to, say, follow you from the back, you know, looking at your back while you're riding, it'll just stay there till you give it a different command?
Well, once you stop, you'll hold your hand out and it'll come home.
So you don't even have to touch the controller. Once you set it to do that, it's going to do it.
Exactly. There's no controller. You can manually control it if that's something you want to do. But, you know, I'm on a horse. You know, I just want something that's simple. I can hold my hand out. It takes off. I stop, hold my hand out, and it lands back in the palm of my hand. And it works really, really good.
Can you set it to say I want it to fly at, you know, 10 feet above me, 30 feet above, 1,000 feet above me? Can you set it to do that?
It can go as high as 20 meters, which is pretty high up to do. Yeah, to do probably 70 almost, but you're not going to have it really following you that high. But it does have like high, medium, and low on the settings. You set that in your phone app,
so it truly does not come with a controller.
You can order it with the controller. Okay. The controller costs more. Yeah. You know, it has all the fancy stuff, but you don't really need that. You know, so you're looking at maybe $300 or $350. You know, and it.
What'd you pay for the drone itself? What was that without the controller?
It was about $350.
That's about right. And I know now there's a new one out that's being advertised by all the YouTubers, and I don't remember the name of it. But it said like $1,500. I mean, it does some really cool stuff, but it's $1,500.
sure. But when you're on a horse, you don't need to, you can't possibly be riding with the controller. And,
right.
You know,
right.
I mean, I would crash it first thing. And this thing follows us through the forest with trees and branches.
I was gonna ask, does it avoid the trees and branches?
It does. It has good crash avoidance. It will duck around the branches, and it's really cool. The only thing I found that I don't like that it does is if I put it to follow me from the front, and as I get going faster, it will move out of my way. So if I'm on a horse, it's moving out of the horse's head way and going to the side, and then it zooms back in, and then it goes. So like the other day I was doing it and it was literally dive bombing my horse's head. It was going back and forth and back and forth. And so
well,
I
we know
like,
your
okay.
horse is drone proof now.
He sure is. So I was like, okay, stop. Let's change this setting. We're going to only follow from the back, which is fine. But you could get into trouble. I mean, you really need to know your horse can handle a drone because it sounds like a big swarm of insects following you, and it can go up to 26 miles an hour. So if for some reason your horse spooked and took off, the drone is just going to keep following you.
Yeah, the swarm of bees is going to keep after you.
Exactly. Yeah. So you got it.
Really good.
Make sure it is. It's good quality, and so I've been having a lot of fun with that.
And it must have a good stabilizer on it because you know it's not shaky. You know,
right?
Yeah. No, it's nice. I mean, it does a good job.
It's fun. You know, it beeps at you to let you know the battery's getting low.
There you go.
So, because you don't want it dropping down into the bush somewhere while you're riding, and then you can never find it again.
Worse is it gets stuck in a tree, and then you have to climb the tree to get it out.
That's oh my gosh, I know. I know.
Well, then you actually have been getting some pretty good views on it, right?
I have. I had one video. It's kind of comical that I posted last week. We were on the trail and I knew there was a hiker ahead with the dog. And when we went around the switchback, the hiker grabbed the dog who was barking and ducked behind a big bunch of trees. So I couldn't see him. The horses couldn't see him. So I had my friend turn the video on to record. And so Joby's like, you know, I'm kind of out of here. I can't see it. It's barking.
They think they're helping when they do that.
They do think they're helping.
Yeah, they're
and
not helping.
having the fact that the dog was barking, the horse perceived it as a threat. So I posted it and quickly, you know, you got all the armchair internet, you know, trainers on there saying, why isn't an inexperienced rider on a spooky horse? and they said much worse. But next thing I know, it's got like 100,000 views.
Yeah, I mean, you get that many views, you're going to get those comments. But you've ridden more miles than most of them put together. So
I mean, I know. You wonder, have any of them ever been out in the forest on a trail and encountered, you know, real life stuff? Like one guy told me I needed to train my horse to kick the dog. Well, you can't kick something you can't see
behind a tree. You know, that's not always a good plan either, to be honest.
Right. But, you know, that was the whole irony of that day was that I'm now using this drone and it's taking off and landing while I'm on my horse, who stands perfect.
Yeah, stands still. This was one of those situations that, almost any horse could have had trouble with this one. And it's just, they think they're helping, but they're, you know, and I've seen this so many times. And Jennifer, when we're trail riding in the forest here, if that happens, she'll say, come out, we need to see you. You know, she'll yell at them.
Right. And that's what we did. We did that. And he finally did come out. You know, and then we went on by. We encountered other bicycles and dogs that day, and it was never a problem because they were just out on the trail in the open. And of course, the horse is just fine. I mean, he's clearly fine, but people were like, oh, the rider is terrified.
I'm sure you were all terrified. I don't know when the last time I heard you terrified about anything, to be honest.
I know.
You know, this is why Jamie has a tough time now posting. She wants to post videos of her training these thoroughbreds, you know, that are off the track. And she just hates to do it anymore because you always get that group. No matter what you do, you're doing it wrong. You know, it doesn't matter. But you're always right. going to have that. I mean, especially the, you know, higher numbers on the video, the more you're going to have.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, and what they didn't understand is I had planned it from one switch back away. That's why we had the camera out recording.
Right.
And I literally let the horse turn around. If otherwise, I would not have let him do that. But I thought this is going to be a great educational video to show and hopefully get it out to other trail users that, like you said, they think they're helping and they don't understand. They're ducking out of sight or they're crouching down holding their dog that's lunging and barking. And it the horses perceive it as a threat.
And to be honest, where you live, there are real threats. There are animals that are real threats where you live.
There are. Yes. We had a bear last week that went up and down the whole neighborhood. And so now there's signs up saying. they got into them all. There was trash everywhere. And there's signs up now saying, high bear activity, beware.
And maybe get a new trash can that's a little more bear-proof.
I know.
Well, but it sounds like you have been riding, and you've been riding Saint, too, your other horse.
I've been riding Saint. He went out on his first group ride last week with three other horses, and he did great. He's fine to lead or follow or be in the middle. So he's coming along really great. I'm having a good time with him. And now I've got the other one I need to start riding, too. So.
Well, good. I'm glad your foot's better and it sounds like it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's talk about Tevis. This must be the 12th, 13th time we talked about Tevis, but we'll get to that right after I do the commercial that has that name in it. This episode is brought to you by Farnam and Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control, a new fly spray for horses. Discover fly protection redefined with Endure Gold. Made to annihilate flies, ticks, and mosquitoes with a brand new EPA-approved ingredients that have never been seen before in equine care. Endure Gold is backed by science and built for hard work, delivering fast knockdown and amazing fly protection. Add Endure Gold to your arsenal and upgrade your fly control rotation. And I will say we are using this and it really does work. We're using it this year because we'll use one fly spray on one horse and this fly spray on the other horse, and the horse without it will have flies. So we've been finding good luck with it this year. So look for Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control at your tack shop today or at your online store. All right, Tevis. I think, again, this is our 13th, 14th time talking about Tevis. And the one thing I noticed right away is your first stat here is the number of entries is way down.
Right. But they've been getting them up. They were even lower a week ago. So that's a good trend. We're up to 86 entries right now.
I mean, when we first started doing this, we were at almost 200, weren't we?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of factors, obviously, we all know what they are going into it this year. So were you surprised at that? I mean, it'll probably round out about 100, but were you surprised at that?
Because last year there was under 100, too.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think, you know, yeah, it's just a tough time in the economy and for people that own horses in general. It's, you know, but this is one of those bucket list rides that everybody aspires to do. So it's something that a lot of people want to do it at least once. And then you get the ones that are truly addicted and they can't stop themselves. They have to go back year after year.
All right. Well, let's hear some of the other stats here.
Okay. So the United States has 85 entries. Out of those, 71 are from California. Oregon has 3. Texas 2, Colorado 2, and these states all have 1. Alaska, Idaho, Kansas, Nevada, New Mexico, Ohio, South Dakota, and Washington. New Zealand has 1 entry. It looks like they're the only international.
So what I see with that is no East Coast. People are not coming out from the East Coast.
Which, probably not.
Yeah, you look at that. There's no East Coast. So Ohio is the closest we get. So, you know, and usually we have a lot of East Coasters coming out. And that you have to attribute to economics more than anything, probably.
Well, but you do have Heather and Jeremy Reynolds who are coming from Florida.
Yeah, but they also have a place in California or Nevada. They or do. Out there,
so. Yes, they do. Yeah.
So that, but you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, you look at that and you go, okay, that's the big, half the country is missing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. What else?
Okay. Not all of the horses are listed yet because some are being held by placeholders because they haven't decided which horse they're going to take. So of the ones that are registered, Arabians make up 69% of the field. Mustangs are 11%. Arabian crosses are 7%. There's one Anglo, which is also basically an Arabian cross. One Morab, one Korab, one Quarter Horse, one Rocky Mountain, one National Show Horse, one Tennessee Walker. By sex, there are 62% geldings and 38% mares. Doesn't look like any stallions are entered. By age, the average age is 11.9.
All of this seems fairly consistent, right, with mm-hmm. years past. I mean, if you take all of the Arab crosses and all the half-Arabs and all that, put it together, you're looking at about 75% Arabs, which seems about normal. Mm-hmm. Geldings and mares, you always have more geldings. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. The youngest right. is 6 years old. That is young, isn't it? Isn't that the minimum?
That's the minimum, and there's only one. Most of the horses are in the 10 to 14 year old range, which is, you know, kind of optimum. They've had more time to develop and get a good base on them.
And then the oldest is 24.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're lasting longer and longer. A lot of horses are competing well into their 20s now.
Wow.
Yeah. So of roughly 45% of the riders are going for their very first time.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. At Tevis. Yeah. So
at Tevis. Yeah. And then on the other end of the spectrum, the most experienced rider already has 9 previous completions. and there are 2 horses going that have 8 completions each. One is a past Taggin Cup winner and the other is a past Tevis Cup winner.
Wow. That's amazing, huh?
It is. So, yeah, good luck to all to the entire field.
So they just did the big race in Australia too, right?
Yes, they did the 60th running of the Tom Quilty, and we had 4 U.S. riders that finished. So congratulations to them. Those are Holly Corcoran, Julie Biddick, Nicole Wirtz, and Lori Olson. Congratulations.
Oh, haven't they all been on our show?
They have been.
Yeah, I recognize those names.
Yeah, we interviewed Julie not too long ago because she did the Mongol Derby, I think it was.
Yeah, she's an adrenaline junkie, that's for sure. So how many riders did they have in that one?
I believe it was 225 with around 63% completion rate.
Wow, cool. And that's no easy race either.
No, it's a tough one, and I understand it was a little bit wet and a little bit of bad weather this year.
And did I see they had to move the world championships?
They sure did. Where they were planned on having them, they decided that it just wasn't going to happen.
It was in the Middle East, right? Weren't they going to have it? And they were worried about the war, I think.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, it's hopefully we'll know by the end of the month if they found another venue or not.
Okay. So they're still looking.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's not do it at Tryon because that didn't work so good. All right. Let's go to Kristen from the Distance Depot.
Well, Kristen, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, today I thought, since we haven't had for a while a less expensive heart rate monitor option, we have been able to bring that back, which is great because I know a lot of people, even though the Blaze has been doing very well, and that's the tail wrap for those of your customers that don't know or listeners that don't know about the Garmin Blaze. It's a tail wrap that goes around the horse's tail and reads the data, heart rate monitor, heart rate and distance and all of that good information and transmits it to your watch. It is pretty costly. It runs about $599.99 plus the cost of your watch. So that brings the price point up pretty high for some people. So we have been able, a while back, Garmin took away their Garmin Dual that we had been adapting with our VMAX wires so that you could connect the wires and electrodes to your horse. And then that would transmit the information, the heart rate, to your Garmin watch. So we have found a replacement. It is called the Cuspo H6 Ant Plus. It's a Bluetooth heart rate monitor as well. And so what we're doing is adapting that little heart rate monitor block with our VMAX wires and electrodes that we've been using for years. And then you can pair it with the Garmin watch you already have or purchase one of the less expensive Garmin watches. There are so many units out there. We happen to stock the Forerunners by Garmin, but they have a million different units. I tell folks, before you purchase one of these, go to Garmin.com and look at, you know, take into consideration, are you doing 25s? Are you doing hundreds where you're going to need a longer battery life? All of that information and much, much more than what we put on our website is on Garmin.com. So you can check out the units you want. Come to our site. We've got the Forerunners, as I say. You can pair it with the Cuspo heart rate monitor and our adapter kit if you're new and just starting out. And, you know, those units start as low as $389.98, which is a complete system watch, heart rate monitor, all the wires, everything you need essentially to get your horse's heart rate and so much more. The Garmin watches really do offer lots of data. So it's a really nice option for your heart rate monitor systems.
Yeah, I know. The Garmin watches have come a long way too, like with the battery life especially.
They have. I wear one at the gym. I mean, it gives you great data, how many calories burned. Of course, for the horse, you can do your how fast you went, how far you traveled, and of course, the all-important heart rate. So super nice to bring this back and offer a lower option for those that have been asking for that.
How would somebody get in touch with you if they wanted to order?
I know a lot of this is overwhelming. So really do call us, ask for me, and I'm happy to walk you through this stuff. You can visit us at www.thedistancedepot.com or call us toll free 866-863-2349.
Yeah, and I would say if it's your first time getting a heart monitor, call Kristen, because you don't want to put all that money out and have something you don't like, right? So it is, you know, you've dealt with this for years and it's not, you know, it is something you should probably get some help with.
It is overwhelming.
Yeah. sort of like drones, huh, Karen? They're kind of overwhelming now too, which one to get. We talked about Karen's new one and how much fun she's having with it.
I know. It looks awesome. I've been watching her videos and stuff. Oh my gosh, so much fun.
Yeah. And, you know, they're so automated nowadays too, which is really, really nice.
Oh yeah, because there's no way I could fly one manually. It would end up in my neighbor's tree or two houses over on the roof. I'm sure of it.
I have one and I am not good at flying it. It's just for some reason some people just figure it out, and I have not one of those people. Thanks, Kristen. We appreciate it. TheDistanceDepot.com.
And today we have two amazing guests who are completely redefining what it looks like to ride distance as a family. You might follow their journey online at Riding Horses and Raising Kids. We have Bridget Helms and her daughter, Chelsea. They are out here proving that you don't need a traditional distance horse to crush big miles and that the best trail partner might just be your own family. Bridget and Chelsea, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Okay, well, let's talk about how did you first start getting involved in horses and then into endurance? Bridget, let's start with you.
All right. Well, so I was a horse crazy from the very beginning, but I finally got my first horse when I was 15 after I got to work at a trail riding stable as a trail guide all summer. I saved up all my money, bought my first horse. Then from then on, I went to college in Rapid City, South Dakota, and I focused on training horses there. And then I got really involved in quarter horses and horse showing. And then when I had kids, I was still showing when Chelsea was a baby. And then I showed her my last quarter horse show while I was pregnant with her brother. And then after that, I was like, well, it's hard to, I was really competitive showing reining. That was my big thing. I went to the world show and I really enjoyed showing in those classes. But once I had kids, that kind of changed a little bit. And then when they were little. I kind of took a step back from showing quarter horse just because I felt like I'm never going to, you know, I didn't feel like I could ride consistently enough to be competitive. So we had always trail rode, and I loved camping with the horses. So then I found out about an endurance ride that was happening about a little over an hour from my house, called the Fort Meade Endurance Ride. And they said they have an intro ride and anybody can come. So I was like, well, I can come then. I can do 12 miles, I think they said the trail was. And I was like, I can come and camp with my horse. I was like, this sounds fun. I want to go. I wanted to go do something different. And I asked some of my friends to go with me, and everybody ditched. Nobody wanted to go. But I was like, I was bound and determined. I was like, I want to go do this. I wanted to go do something with my horses again. Because I think Lane would have been 2 at the time and Chelsea was 4. So they were still pretty little, but I was getting itch to get back out there. So I went, and I was just floored. I was like, this is so cool. I saw people coming in. You know, I got to camp there, so I got to watch the 50-milers come in for their first hold, and I was just blown away. I was like, I can't believe these people have already ridden 25 miles that day, and I hadn't even done a thing. So after that, I was pretty well hooked. So I told myself at that day that the next year I was going to be back, and I was going to do the 25-mile ride. So then that next spring, I met Hannah Press, and she was the one who helped me get started. And I met up with her to ride, and she said, this horse can do endurance. And I was like, no. And that was major. I did not think he had it. You know, I just didn't. He was a quarter horse, show horse. He won, you know, he did pleasure. He did Western pleasure. He did ranch riding. He did reining. He won lunge line as a baby. He was, you know, he was my show horse. I did not think for in a million years that he would be an endurance horse, but she told me he would be. So I did my first 25 miler with her on my 35th birthday. And then so it was actually before my goal ride of the Fort Meade ride that August. And then I did another 25 at Fort Meade. And she told me, she said, you should do a 50 on that horse. And I was like, okay. And he was 9 at the time. So it's not like he was a super young horse. So he had definitely had the miles under his belt that he could do it. And so we did it. And then I've been stuck on 50 since. And that's when Major's Decade Team year started in 2018, when he did his first 50.
Oh, you're getting close.
We are. We just got to do one next season, and we've got it.
Good. Well, Chelsea, I have a question for you. Your first LD ride in 2022 was hot and miserable, so you decided to take 2023 off from riding in order to crew for your mom instead. A lot of kids would have just quit the sport entirely. How did spending a year crewing help you fall in love with the community, and what made you say, okay, I'm ready to get back in the saddle and ride in 2024?
When I was crewing, I learned a lot from like other people and like the vets, and I just decided that I think I should ride more and enjoy it, because we got to go to many different places and there was a bunch of different scenery and stuff that I thought would be cool that I could go out and ride and see.
So did you start wanting to go on conditioning rides with your mom?
Yeah. We would condition like around our house sometimes on the roads, and then most of the time we would go to the Bear Lodge and we would ride a bunch up there. And then I realized that this is actually really fun, so I'm going to get back into the sport and ride.
So when did you do your first ride?
2024. It was an LD again, I think.
Okay, and now you're hooked?
Yep.
And I understand recently you did a back-to-back, a 50 and a 55-miler.
Mm-hmm. On the first day, went pretty good. I probably got a little sore, but the next day when I went out on the 55, I felt pretty good.
Hey, what was the best part of that ride for you?
Probably riding with my mom.
Okay, good. Okay, so Bridget, you are now letting Chelsea ride Major. So what's that like, letting your daughter ride your heart horse?
Mm-hmm. So at first it was really hard because I don't think she really liked to ride him at first. She really, really likes riding Major's little sister, which is the little chestnut mare she did a bunch of LDs on in 2024. But when she wanted to do 50s, I was like, we probably need to put you on Major instead. And so I felt like there was a little adjustment period where they were both getting used to each other. And so that kind of tore at my heartstrings in two different ways because I really wanted to be riding him. I love to see her ride him, but like watching their relationship grow, like this year, I feel like they are on the same page and they take really good care of each other. And so it is really special watching him pack her around and treat her. So watch their relationship develop and watch how they treat each other and just see them together. So now it is kind of hard because it's like, well, I really like riding him, but I also really like watching her ride him. And riding with her has been really good for my gray horse because I've been bringing him along. And so it's been really good for several reasons because I put her on the more experienced horse and then she can kind of help me through on my young horse. And so it's been good confidence building on both ways, you know, where it's almost like I'm mentoring her and then her horse is mentoring my horse.
And how do you work out all of the scheduling and the time to go in condition as a family?
We really have to work around, you know, school and my full-time job. So a lot of times we try to aim to ride at least 3 days a week. So on weeknights, we usually try to do, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10 miles, maybe a little bit more, just depending on how much time we have. You know, when the days get longer, it gets easier. But at first, you know, when we're first starting to condition, it's a little bit harder, you know, in February, March, when we're starting to get things going and the daylight's really not in our favor. But, and then we save our longer rides for our weekend. So either Saturday, Sunday, whatever day fits into the schedule better or the weather looks better, then we get out for a longer ride those days. So it just takes a lot of commitment. Everybody in the, you know, my husband and my son, they have to know, like, no, we have to ride these days. We have to get out. And I think everybody's pretty used to it now. They are like, yes, we know you guys have to ride.
You got to make your priorities and set a goal, and that helps.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so if there's somebody out there listening and they're looking at the ride calendar and they're riding a quarter horse or another breed that's non-Arab, or even if it is an Arab, wondering if they can actually do this, what would you tell them to give them that final push to just sign up and go do it?
I would say reach out to the people that, you know, like what I did when I decided I wanted to go. They had a Facebook group for the ride. And so I joined it and I, you know, started conversations with the people that were in the group. And I tried to at least try to get to know some of the people. And everybody was really welcoming. They're like, yeah, when you get there, you know, come say hi. And for me, meeting a mentor made the biggest difference because if I didn't have Hannah telling me, yes, your horse can do this, I don't know if I would have been like, yes, my horse can do this. So I think finding people, you know, just getting to know people in the community and having their support, because I felt like for me, that meant a lot to know that somebody who actually knows what they're doing says that my horse can do it. I think a lot of times we don't believe enough in ourselves and what our horses are capable of, because a lot of horses can do it. If you look at, like, Chelsea's only ridden quarter horses in endurance. She's ridden 3 different horses. She's ridden, her first LD was on Major's mom, who was 21 at the time. And then her other LDs were on Major's sister, and she's like 13'3" hands tall and almost as wide as she is tall. She's just a little brick house of a quarter horse, and she does just fine on LDs. So I think sometimes we think, oh, that horse doesn't look like an endurance horse. But if you are, you know, a lot of horses can ride to finish. You just have to be, you just have to ride within their conditioning and within their capabilities. So I think a lot of people just need to get out and just try it. And if you're, you know, do an intro ride if you're really not sure. But I think a lot of people would find it's super fun if you just get out there and just come join us. We're fun people.
Exactly. Okay, let's do some fun questions. I'll ask both of you this. Let's start with Bridget. What's your ultimate non-negotiable trek snack for traveling on the way to a ride?
Ooh. Well, I know when I have to go shopping, I better not come home without fruit by the foot.
Okay, so Chelsea, is that what you like, the fruit rolls, or is there something else?
Okay. I like the fruit rolls for trail riding because it's like a one-handed snack.
Okay, so you can trot and snack at the same time.
Yep.
Have you mastered the skill of trotting and cantering and drinking at the same time?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, between the two of you, Bridget, who handles the pre-writing packing better?
I would say that's all me. And then sometimes she's like, Mom, where is this? Or Mom, did you remember to pack this? So hopefully she starts joining in on that a little bit more because I don't always remember everything.
Yeah, with two of you, you got to make sure we get all the tack and everything.
We used to have a mobile tack shop, and the one thing we would always sell at every show is girths, because you'd be shocked at how many people forgot girths.
I believe it.
You know, it's just like, you can't do much without it.
So Bridget, what's Major's favorite vet check food?
You know, he kind of goes in spurts. But he loves to graze grass if there's green grass there, and he'll never turn down a carrot.
Well, that's good. Chelsea, if you're out riding for a long time, what's your favorite topic or song? Do you guys have favorite things that you talk about, or do you sing? What do you do to pass the time?
We probably talk about the animals at home and like imagine what they're doing. And we also talk about random things sometimes.
Okay. Do you guys talk a lot? Do you chatter away, or are you mostly pretty quiet?
We talk sometimes, probably most of the time.
Okay. I know I've had juniors that are both types. Some just chatter away nonstop and others are very quiet. So which type are you?
It depends. Like if it's somebody who I know, I'll probably talk a little bit more. But if it's somebody who I don't really know, I'm probably not going to talk very much.
Okay. All right. Well, what has been your favorite ride so far?
Probably Fort Meade, because it was pretty close and I got to see fireworks.
Okay, they do that. That's on the 4th of July weekend?
Yeah.
And they've got a bunch of horses camping there with fireworks.
Well, it was
They were in the distance. They weren't right next to camp. Okay, so okay. That was nice.
No, I'm kind of laughing just because I go out every year from home. We have neighbors that do a ton of fireworks and I go out with the horses and we watch the fireworks together. So, okay. So Bridget, what do you guys like to drink on the trail?
We drink a lot of, we like the Redmond Relight for our electrolytes. And then just, of course, a lot of just water and body armor, pretty much whatever we can, you know, keep cold and keep drinking. It seems like we can never have enough.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, what are your goals for 2026?
Well, Chelsea got her first mileage patch the other day for her 250 endurance miles. So I'm pretty sure she wants to hit her 500 miles, and then Major is 150 miles or 140 miles away from his 2,000 miles. So hoping to hit that for him this year, and then just finish out I'd like to just finish out our ride season with, you know, just having a couple more good rides at our next, we have three more rides planned. So just hoping to get through those successfully. Nothing would make me happier than to finish a ride season with, you know, just happy, healthy horses.
Good. Well, you guys are such an inspiration. If you aren't already following them, go check out Riding Horses and Raising Kids to watch Bridget, Chelsea, Major, and Royal. Thank you both for hanging out with us, and we'll see you out on the trail.
Thanks, you guys.
That is so cool to hear mom and daughter getting along and, you know, riding along and having fun doing it. That's really cool. So let's hope that continues as they continue on. And it'll keep the daughter out of trouble, too. So
I think they're very addicted to the sport. Yeah. They're going to keep doing it.
And it goes to show that you can do it on something other than Arabian, too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. It goes to show that. And there's a lot of people that do. So, you know, you don't have to be afraid to get started if you're riding a quarter horse or if you're riding. I mean, look at the different breeds we have registered in Tevis. You know, you don't have to be afraid to just get started. Because I think, you know, most horses, you know, take out draft horses, most horses are going to be able to do a 25, right? If they're in shape, they can do a 25.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot of times it's the rider that's kind of holding things up. They're just not sure that either the horse can do it or that they can do it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and, you know, there's lots of rides all over the country. You can go to the AERC online ride calendar for rides in your area. That's AERC.org to find them in your area. And, you know, you can do just like she did. She just showed up, right? She had scheduled to go with a whole bunch of people and just showed up, and it was all fine, and she found a mentor and went from there. That's one of the nice things about endurance. Yeah, you can also check the clinics page, as there are several endurance clinics popping up all over the country as well. Where can they find you?
NV Endurance Rider or KarenChatton.com.
And that's where you're posting your cool drone videos? That's...
Mostly I'm doing Facebook and Instagram under NV Endurance Rider, but yes, and hopefully I'm going to get some more interesting and fun spots. And I will just want to mention, so we don't, you know, get anybody upset, I am very, very careful about using the drone around other trail users. And especially if there's other horses, I will not use it around another. If there's other horse people or trail users in the vicinity, I'll take it down or I won't even use it at all.
That's good to hear. I mean, I knew you would be respectful like that. Plus, where you ride, you can ride forever and not see anybody. So.
Well, some days I can. Yes, exactly. But I've had people follow me with the drone before on the trail. And, you know, if your horse isn't used to it, it is like a swarm of insects following.
Yep.
It's noisy and obnoxious. So I totally understand that. And so I'm going to be very respectful of that and other trail users.
We were in a movie about podcasting years ago. That's probably 9-10 years ago now. It's called The Messengers. And they filmed, I was driving scooter in a field. And there was a cameraman in the cart with me who had never been around a horse before, never seen a horse before. And then they had a drone up. And I told Neil, I said, keep that drone high enough because this pony, it bolts anyway. And he's never been around a drone before. And he came down too low, right behind his butt. And sure enough, we bolted. So and the cameraman in the cart almost fell out and it's good to keep that in mind because it does sound like a swarm of bees. It really does. Well, you can find today's guests and show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. We're going to be back here tomorrow. Jamie and I will be here with a brand new episode, so tune in then. We're here 5 days a week. And you can follow just the Endurance Show as its own RSS feed on your podcast player. So if you search Endurance Rider, it'll just bring up the Endurance episodes. You can subscribe to that if you're not interested in Horses in the Morning in general. So I just wanted to remind everybody of that as well. Well, and thank you to our sponsors, the Distance Depot. You can visit them for all of your endurance riding needs. And I don't know, do you want to say it or do you want me to say it?
I'll let you say it. You've had more practice.
Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control. Thank you to them as well. We'll see you, Karen.